Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
I want to look at Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Acts chapter 2, the book of Acts. Is that the amazing adventure of the people of God, powered by the Holy Spirit, living out the cause of Christ. If we ever wondered, what is the model for the church? What is how do we scale ourselves as a church in the world that we live in? A lot of times we will discover our future when we look back to the original plan. And you can see in the book of Acts how God was with the disciples and it continued to expand out. Where we pick up in Acts chapter 2 is how God was with the disciples. And now he begins to kind of go public with the message to the multitudes. And God is using the disciples. And there's been the power of the Holy Spirit that's fell upon the church in the beginning of Acts chapter 2. And Peter's gotten so fired up. And he's gone out and preached a great message. And people have gotten quickened in their heart. And they've been stirred in their heart. There's been a transformation that's taken place. And many people now have decided to believe. And that's where I'm going to pick up in Acts chapter 2. Which is so interesting how, you know, days before that, weeks before that, there's Peter running scared. But then we see Peter now boldly standing up, deciding to be what God wants him to be, even though probably he was nervous and he was trying to figure it all out. He stepped up in the power of the Holy Spirit and God used him in a great way. And we pick up in verse 41, after he speaks and after he pleads with them to come to Christ, it says, those who accepted the message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. So as he preached, people believed. And once they believed, they wanted to get baptized. We talked about that several weeks ago, that, you know, believing, that's at the first of the line. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we follow through with water baptism. We're going to be baptized next week. And there's several weeks out September. We're going to be baptized. We've baptized already since we've been in this facility about 225 people. So it's been real exciting to see that take place. And it's always good to go down to the water. Can I have a good amen? And so, you know, so we see this taking place here. That they get baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the number that day. So what happened next? Because that's a big day. I mean, that's an incredible moment. All those people coming to Christ. Now what? Look at verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. So right after that, something very important took place. It says, they devoted themselves. They devoted themselves. That may be even bigger than the situation of people, all kinds of people hearing the gospel. Now people have believed. Now people have been baptized. And now they decide to what? To belong to one another. How important it is once the seed has been planted, once a decision has been made, that you begin to follow out the decision of Christ. See, not only did they hear the word, they begin to live out the word. Not only did they receive the word, they wanted to commit to the word. So then they said, let's be devoted to it. Let's get devoted to this. This is incredible. They devoted themselves to the teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. You just see this getting better and better. Everyone was filled with awe. Many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. Look at this. All the believers, now they're believers, they're together. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possession, their goods. They gave to everyone as they had need. So you see the spirit of generosity, some of the things that Lance talked about, the spirit of giving, such an honor. And it says every day they continued to meet together in the temple. They met together. They broke bread in the homes and they ate together. We see this theme with glad and sincere hearts. So their hearts were being changed, praising God. There was worship and they were enjoying the favor of all the people, all the people. So you see what followed that commitment was a faithfulness to being consistently together. There was a yes to Jesus. There was a yes to belong. There was a yes to become what God wants. And then there was this yes to doing life together for the cause of Jesus Christ. And then the last part, verse 47, praising God, enjoying the favor of all the people. And then look at the benefit. Look at the result of people being together in Jesus Christ, putting aside the minor things, embracing the major things. How many knows we need to major on the major? Say, so keep your marriage strong. You major on the major. You don't let the minor things destroy the major things. So in the body of Christ, they're majoring on the major. And the Bible says this. This is great. It says, and the Lord added to their number. That means that heaven was populated and hell was plundered. How many knows that is the cause of the local church? Is to see people cross the line of faith, to see heaven populated and to see hell plundered by the preaching of the gospel. And it says they were added to their number daily, those who were being saved. There was an increase in the message and there was an increase in the members in the body of Christ. They were committed. They decided to do life together. And wow, how God used them in a great way. If you looked through that and took a moment, you would see that chain reaction. When the people of God decide to show up, it's amazing what can happen. Just think about how Peter showed up. He decided not to sit back in fear. He decided not to be paralyzed in the past, but he decided to show up for God. And look how God used him. So did others. Then 3,000 people decided to show up. And as they all showed up, the doors of the gospel, the doors of hope, the doors of peace, the doors of healing swung open wide to a brighter and a bigger future, because together they were determined and they had decided to be disciples of Jesus Christ to the point of showing up. How many of us, God wants us to show up? These are days that we're living in where you got to show up. The people all around us need the people of God to show up. Now, let me ask you this. Think about this. Have you ever been on the other side of this where you were stood up? Don't nobody raise their hand. That's not going to help your game. Can I have an amen? Or have you ever been on the receiving end of a no-show, when someone is a no-show? You remember that, where maybe you went somewhere or it was a date or it was an appointment and they were a no-show. You got stood up. How do you feel? What does that feel like? Do you remember that? Or have you tried to erase the memory of that? So if you've tried to erase the memory or you don't remember what a no-show feels like, I want to help you remember. So I just want to do a little no-show scenario. So check this out.
Hello there, ma'am. Dinner for one?
Oh, no, two. There's definitely two. It's a blind date. I'm excited.
Oh, one of those.
I'm a little nervous.
One of those.
Okay.
All right, right this way, madam.
Okay.
Welcome to the restaurant.
Oh, thank you. So nice.
Serve good food here.
Oh, good.
One for you.
I like food, so.
One for...
Yeah, he's coming. Yeah, he's definitely coming. We had a connection, you know.
Oh, I believe you.
Through texting and...
Well,
so it's good.
You go ahead and look over that. Okay. Mr. Lane will be your server, and he'll be over here in a
thank
second.
Thank you so much. Very nice. Oh, yes. Okay. Okay, Michelle. It's the right restaurant. You look good. It's going to be good. It's going to be good.
How are you doing this evening, ma'am?
Hey.
My name's Lane. I'm going to be taking care of you today.
Oh, good. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, can I start you out something to start out with while you're waiting on your other party?
Oh, no. He should be coming any minute now, so we're just going to wait.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
you
so,
sure?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Thank
okay,
you.
Okay, well, I'll be right back in a second to check on you.
Okay, thank you. Oh, all right, man. Oh, hope he shows up. Okay, did I put on too much lipstick, maybe? Let's see. Okay. Oh, man. Did I forget to turn off the curling iron? I remember putting it down, but did I turn it off? I don't know. I hope not. Okay. Gosh. Oh.
Kimmy, it's been a little while.
You want to take this menu out of your way?
Oh, it hasn't been long.
Are you sure?
He'll be here.
Okay. Well.
Okay.
Are you sure? You want to
yes.
order anything? A salad,
no.
maybe? An appetizer?
Mm-mm. I'm so full right now. Thank
okay.
you.
All right. Okay.
He will be here. my goodness, maybe I shouldn't have changed my Facebook status to dating. We haven't even started. It maybe was a little too forward. Keep your cool. Keep your cool. Just, oh, okay, maybe this is... Okay, just... Hey, just
a second.
I'm just practicing my yoga. Oh, goodness. So awkward.
Oh, hey there.
Oh,
you know, I think I might want to just take this from you because I think he might be a no-show.
Do you really think so?
I know it. I see a no-show. I know it when I see it.
Oh, my goodness.
I know it.
You know it.
All right, everybody, get your hands up.
Lift it up. Lift it up. All right. How's everybody doing out there this morning?
Get your hands up. 9
o'clock.
We're
looking good, crowd.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
What?
What? Yeah.
You ready, little bitchy?
Hey, listen to this. Listen. Man, look at this girl, freshly dressed with the pearls. The way her man treat her makes me wanna hurl. Got the biggest frown and tears to match that. Hole in her heart, please somebody patch that. You think he's showing up, he's so far away. I hate this man, man, come on, man. Look at this dude, look at this dude. Come on, boy, hit it, LP.
This looks like it's gonna be a no-show. Her man must be some kind of showboat. Closing time is close to an hour. The rain is coming soon, thank you, Doppler. What?
He's a no-show.
She's all drenched now from head to toe. She's shedding tears, man, your heart is black as a crow. Little boy, I think you could have done better. You told her that you were gonna bring an umbrella. He's a no-show, he's a no-show. Your man's hiding like Marco Polo. He's a no-show, he's a no-show. Your man's hiding like Marco Polo.
Marco Polo!
Come on. Let's clap our hands. They got a little skills. They got some skills. Oh, man. I'm glad Michelle is married with a child or her life would be over. That is great. That is great. That is great. Just talking a little bit about what it means to be a no-show. And when you think about it in life, see, I believe the same will happen in the world that we live in if people who claim to know Christ, who claim to love the Word of God, who claim to be Christians, if we decide to be a no-show in our commitment, if we decide to be a no-show as it relates to the cause of Christ and to the church and to the community, to the world that we live in, if we decide to be that, if we decide to stand up the world and to stand up the hurting and to be a no-show to those that are fighting addiction and to be a no-show as it relates to being committed to the house of God and being a part of the faith community, guess what? We leave people at the table of decision. Can I have a good amen? And that's what happens so often. When we decide not to be there where we need to be, we decide not to stand up and not to show up for God. So we're going to be talking a lot about what it means to show up for God. What does it mean to show up as the church? What does it mean to show up as a family that believes in the truth of the gospel? What does it mean to be a no-show? And what can we do to fight against that issue in our life that we can drift off to sometimes? See, a no-show is someone who will not commit. A no-show is someone that won't join the journey. Just can't commit to the journey. It's a person who just kind of lives in and out of hot and cold, which means that they've just decided to be lukewarm as it relates to the things of God. A no-show is kind of fickle to the church and fickle to church attendance and fickle to being connected and fickle as it relates to being loyal and faithful maybe to the people of God. It's a no-show is someone that maybe will give a little bit but will not give to the point where it will cost them anything at all. A no-show doesn't want to take steps to grow, steps to walk in the things of God. Really, a no-show is about playing it safe. Why? Because they want to keep their options open. And really, a no-show is about just not wanting to be there because they lose control of their life. A lot of our culture today kind of thrives at times and is proud about being non-committal. Even becomes trendy and hip a little bit to kind of not be committed. If we're not careful, that spills over in our relationship with Christ. It spills over to the relationship with the body of Christ. And we begin to date the body of Christ and maybe just have a lot of one-night stands with the body of Christ. Can I tell you this? Jesus did not die for that. Jesus did not die for you and I to be no shows in our home and no shows in our community and no shows at work and no shows for the church and no shows for what God is doing around the world. He died so that you and I could show up in the things of God. So church, over the next several weeks, we're going to do a couple things. Here's a couple things I really feel in my heart that we're to kind of dive into and talk about, kind of have a conversation about. One thing we're going to talk about is what it means to be a member of the church. What does it mean to be a member of Healing Place Church? What does that mean? Here's another thing we're going to talk about is what does membership mean as it relates to biblical thought and a true biblical meaning of being a member, being connected to the body. The Bible talks about we are members in the body of Christ. What does that biblically mean? We're going to talk a little bit about what I think is so important is what membership is not. Because sometimes we have a myth or we have a past experience. I know I was raised Baptist and Catholic. We just kind of met in the middle. I call us, we were kebabdist. That's kind of what we did. We were Catholic a little bit and Baptist a little bit. And both of their membership thoughts were different. And so what does membership, what does it not mean as it relates to something biblical? And what does the Bible have to say about being a member in the body of Christ as it relates to the invisible church? But guess what? It's just not about the invisible church. It's about the visible church also. You say, well, I'm just a part of the invisible church. Do you have an invisible pastor that comes to the hospital? Do you do invisible counseling? Is there an invisible tithe? Can I have an amen? So we're also a part of a local body connected to the body of Christ. What does it mean? What does it not mean? And then ultimately, what does it look like to be a committed disciple of Jesus Christ? A disciple of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? I hear that word. What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? So I felt about 6 months ago that we're to kind of make a shift and a transition as it relates to, as a church, to some tangible ways that we connect people to the church. And I think it's important that we help people along in their life of faith. How do we serve those who decide to believe? And how do you help people belong? And how do you help people become all that God wants them to become? And so we're going to provide some different avenues to communicate this. And you're going to hear a lot over the next couple of weeks about the whole idea of salvation. What does it mean to be saved? About baptism, about communion, about unity, about the power of the Holy Spirit, about basic discipleship in Jesus Christ. So it's going to include also some new ways that we do connect, and we're going to do some connect dinners, and then there's some neat things that we're going to do with membership classes. So you're going to hear a lot about membership classes and ways that we're going to be able to be connected to that. We're going to be doing a membership covenant at the mid part of September where those that have been a part of our church and those that are here, you can kind of be grandfathered into that. We're going to do this from time to time because I believe God wants us to live a life-giving expression of what it means to be together. Because we're fully committed to the cause of Christ. And we're going to stay fully committed as a church. Because people everywhere, guess what? Need you and I to show up. Can I have a good amen? You know, I came to Christ when I was 18 years old. And I got fired up, got saved, got in church. And had not been in church much. We'd bounced back and forth. And I'll never forget getting excited. And my pastor, I went to him and he wanted me to get involved with some things. And I started serving a little bit, but I was so fresh. I just didn't know much. I was trying to read the Bible a little bit, was trying to, you know, 18 years old, just try to figure this all out because I'd never had any consistent walk of faith. And I owe much of my foundation in faith to a very patient gentleman by the name of Chip Judd. No, he was not in the Judd family. If you were wondering, just Chip Judd. He was a very patient man. And he saw me around the church, and I was vacuuming the church and going to prayer meetings and trying to help young people and doing some Sunday school. And just all throughout that time, he watched me as I began to serve, and I began to kind of get fired up about God and maybe bring some people to church and be there in the services. And he was the first person that ever sat down with me one day and said, I want to talk to you a little bit about what it means to be a disciple. He's the first person that ever unpacked this scripture. And I want to finish up with this scripture in Matthew chapter 16. He was the one that really unpacked this for me early in my faith. Once I had believed what it means to belong and what it meant to become what God wanted me to be. It's in Matthew chapter 16, and he unpacked this for me several times. It says this in verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. If you want to find your life, you lose your life. If you don't want to be able to find life, then you gain your life. He just taught about that whole principle that when you're able to lay down things at Jesus, how much you discover in life. It's not about holding back. It's not about how little you can commit. It's not about how much of a less Christian you can be. It's not about how tiny your love can be, but it's about how fully surrendered it could be. And it goes on to say in verse 26, what good would it be for a man to gain the whole world, yet he forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give exchange for his soul? He was kind of the first guy that ever unpacked that with me. He looked at me and he said, I want to help you now to believe, but I want to help you now to become a disciple. And it will take one thing out of you. I'll never forget, he looked at me and said, it's going to take one thing out of you. It's going to take a consistent, high commitment. I was 19 years old. He knew something I didn't know. He knew that I needed to be planted in the house of God, and I need to find my place in the body of Christ. I'll never forget, one day he looked at me and he said, we're going to read the New Testament, and we're going to read it over and over again, and we're going to focus on the Gospels. He said, because the more I get to know you, here's what I've discovered about you. You are nothing like Jesus. So you need to read the Gospels over and over again, because in the Gospels, you will learn how to be like Jesus, and you need help there. What was he doing? He was discipling me. And for about 9 months, every single week, I parked myself in his office and I talked about scriptures, and we went through a book and we went through some core values and we went through a whole process every single week about the things of God. And he would call me out in things, because guess what? I needed to be called out. I needed somebody to call me out, because he maybe saw something in me I didn't see. He maybe knew something about the future that I didn't know. And so he called me out as it relates to discipleship. And you know, I look back now and the foundation that God continues to build in my life, and the foundation that I'm trying to pass down to my children, and the foundation that I'm excited about seeing in other people. And some of the things, when I think about that, I go back and I thank God for a man who looked at me and called me out to show up about the things of God and to show up and learn. Boy, he would find me when I would not show up. He'd find me on Sunday and say, you owe me 2 meetings next week, because you missed that last one. You committed. You made a commitment to me that you were going to grow, that we were going to learn together. I see you around here serving, but you just don't need to be the serve. You need to be understand how to be a self-feeder in God. Because one day you may not have all this. And boy, the impact that it made on my life when he called me out, I thank God for it. And I think we need to live in a world today that calls us all out. I think you ought to attend a church that calls you out. I think you ought to have some friends that call you out every once in a while. That call you out to show up and to stand up for Christ and to do life together in God. Because can I tell you this? There's no fruit and there's no flourishing in the world of isolation. It's not going to happen. The devil wants us to isolate. God wants us to come into relationship. Can I have a good amen?
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.